This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Oliver Morton, the briefings editor of The Economist magazine, who is helping me understand to the limits of my DNA protein nucleic acid ability what it is that I'm made of. Creation has had billions, perhaps more, of years to create a system that is elegant and requires good, careful language. The miracle is that it's here and we're... Oliver, is it too much to say we're reverse engineering? Do they use that crude terminology when they talk about amino acids?
You can do that. Yes, you can see it sometimes as reverse engineering. And people do talk about reverse genetics as well, where you start from the protein and go back to the gene.
Well, then let's go to the amino acid, because herein lies the fundamentals, to my understanding, of a protein. Oliver will correct me if I get my language wrong here. But the amino acids has 20 different varieties, and I stopped doing 20 times 20 after the fourth iteration, Oliver. This is an enormous possibility. As you write, it's a cosmos within the amino acid. Is that what AI is attempting to predict? What choices will be made as it moves down the chain?
Not quite. The AI knows, the AI system, this is the deep mind, the system made by DeepMind called AlphaFold. It knows what the sequence of amino acids in a given protein is. What it's predicting is how the different capacities of those amino acids, the different proclivities, if you would, will govern the way that that chain folds up into a three-dimensional structure with particular properties. So bits of the chain will curl around on themselves, bits will zip up. There are all sorts of different ways that proteins form structures, and it can predict, and sometimes predict very accurately, sometimes less accurately, what that structure will look like, which is previously something that has taken a lot of hard experimental work to derive.
What is the practical use of predicting, Oliver? What does that allow the lab technician and the study to achieve that could not have been achieved without the prediction?
It doesn't allow you to do anything that could not have been achieved without the prediction if you've been willing to put in a lot of work. But only a very small number of the proteins whose sequences now reside in databases have ever had the experimental work done on them, which allows you to actually see and measure their structure. So it effectively allows you to get a good guess, sometimes more than that, of the structure of almost any protein. And by the end of this year, DeepMind is expecting that they and others, because the source code for this AI system is now publicly available, they and others will have provided at least a million protein structures by the end of this year. And what that allows is it allows you to look at what the molecule that the gene describes is actually capable of doing. And it allows you also to do little experiments by saying, well, if it changes here or mutates there, how different will it look? And that sort of thing leads you straight into the realm both of some very interesting pure biology, but also into pharmacology, because what you want to do with a drug, some drugs are proteins, in which case you want to make sure that you have exactly the right shape for them. Some drugs work by blocking or exciting proteins. And again, you need to know the shape of the protein to know what sort of drug will be useful. In itself, it's not like a magic bullet, but it hugely helps with the development of drugs to be able to know what the structure of a protein is. And with this system also to be able to look at what the structures of similar proteins might be. So you can really get a sense of how things are changing and how the protein changes and evolves. It's, among other things, very useful for studying evolving pathogens like SARS-CoV-2, the COVID-19 virus.
I learned from you that human proteins are 400 amino acids long. I can't do that.
On average, some of them are an awful lot larger, but on average, that's about right, yes.
That is, I mean, 20 times 20 times 20 times 20, I don't know what that number is, but it's very large.
I don't think that's not a number that anyone regularly would think of. But yes, in theory, you can have, in theory, every one of the positions on a protein the amino acid positions can be filled by one of 20 or in fact more different amino acids. 20 is a useful, what's called a canonical figure. And so the number of possible amino acids is 20 to the power of whatever number, whatever number describes the length of your chain. And so one example is, as you said earlier, if you just have two amino acids, one after the other, there are 400 different ways of doing that because that's 20 times 20. If you have three, there are 8,000 ways, 8,000 different three amino acid triplets. And then the numbers just get bigger and bigger in a way that gets almost silly. But, you know, by the time you're up to about 40 or 50, you have more different sorts of potential protein than there are atoms in the planet Earth. And fairly soon you start getting up to all the fundamental particles in the observable universe. And these are silly numbers. And obviously, life hasn't sampled all this extraordinary space of possibility. Life has gone with some things that it knows work, and it's elaborated on them and rung the changes on them, and it does brilliantly. I mean, humans contain somewhere between 80,000 and 300,000 different proteins made out of about 20 so thousand different genes, and they are able to do extraordinary things like, you know, talk to people
Manage the Zoom system on any given day. Yes,
indeed. Yes, and manage the Zoom and design the Zoom. But although that's an extraordinary thing, it also means that there are lots of potential ways of putting together proteins that life has never looked at. And at the moment, you know, our attempts to do that, even with tools like AlphaFold, are effectively like sort of like children scribbling compared to the wonderful designs that have evolved over the past 4 billion years.
I wanted to ask you about the science fiction chapter here. What is a de novo protein, Oliver?
Well, a de novo protein, and there are people doing work on this, and most notably a lab at the University of Washington run by David Baker, but there are lots of other people doing it too, in which you imagine a shape and then work out how to build a protein that would have that shape. Rather than starting from a natural protein that has a given shape, you just use the basic rules of how proteins fold, which are the sort of rules that AlphaFold is now making much clearer to us, and try to put together, you know, a way of making, for instance, a little box out of amino acids, which is not something nature does naturally, but you can design amino acids that fit together to make a little box, and you can design amino acids that make little amino acid chains that make little tubes, which is something nature does do, but you can change the way the tubes work in ways that nature doesn't. And what this will actually end up doing, it's very hard to say, but if you think, as some people do, that there's a future in which there's a nanotechnology of tiny little machines, the smart way to bet is that any tiny little machines will be tiny little machines made out of proteins designed for that purpose.
Oliver Morton is the briefings editor at The Economist magazine, introducing me into the potential protein space made possible by AI, DeepMind, and its successors in these next thousands of years. The shape of things to come, unknown. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.